Good morning. How's everybody doing today?
It's afternoon.
Afternoon. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. It feels like morning. I took a 5:40 a.m. flight to get here, so I'm still waking up. So my name is Keenan Newton. I'm a senior product marketing manager with the SharePoint team, and we're going to talk a little bit about apps for SharePoint today. My counterpart,
Sonia Kaptiev. Good afternoon.
She's also a product marketing manager with the SharePoint team, and she focuses on apps for Office, but we'll be doing presentations on today and tomorrow, 060 for apps for SharePoint today and 060 for apps for Office tomorrow. So we're going to talk a little bit about this whole app thing. Just out of curiosity, how many people here do existing like SharePoint full trust type solutions? So like a good amount. How many people have no idea what SharePoint full trust solutions are? So about this, almost the same amount. Okay, fair enough. That's good, because with apps for SharePoint, that's really not about, it's really not about full trust solutions. So for those of you that don't know a whole lot about it, that's going to be an okay thing. So for our agenda today, we're going to talk about we have four main items. We're going to first talk about what the vision, what this whole apps for SharePoint thing is. We're going to talk a little bit about what are apps for SharePoint. So we're going to talk very high level, the architecture, talk a little bit about the history of how we got to where we are today. And then I'm going to do roughly about 35 to 40 minutes of just straight demos, including going into code and how these apps actually work. And how they actually interact with the SharePoint environment. Just out of curiosity, is everybody pretty much familiar here with something called HTML? Good. You'll be able to understand the code, a lot of the code that you're going to see. How about this? Are most of you familiar with C# or .NET? Yes. Okay. Great. So you won't be lost when you actually see the code. Some of the APIs may be new to you, but I think with namespaces and as you know that it's going to be pretty much make sense. Okay, then lastly, we're going to talk about resources, and that's existing resources that we have for today on MSDN, as well as other sessions that we'll be having throughout the week. So with that, I'm going to hand it over to my counterpart here, who's going to talk a little bit about our vision.
Thank you much. So welcome. That was a great intro. And let's talk about our vision, so modernizing the platform. In today's market, we all know that Office and SharePoint tends to be a very natural front end and user interface for many of our users. If you haven't heard, there's 1 billion Office users worldwide. It's a fabulous number. And within that, tons of SharePoint users as well. With that, Office tends to be the natural front end and client to many of the information worker and Office productivity tasks that get accomplished within both enterprises and businesses, small businesses, also independents today. With that, we have many companies building their own line of business applications, integrating with existing legacy applications running on mainframes, working with their ERP solutions, CRM solutions, and these are all disparate systems. Office and SharePoint, we feel, should be that natural front end and user interface to many of these 1 billion users to integrate and pull in a fluid and integrated experience for these disparate line of business applications and all the other legacy code that they're running. Also, there's a very strong developer base. There's roughly 700,000 SharePoint developers and many, many more Office developers that are just working with disparate technologies such as VBA, VSTO, COM add-ins, and all of those wonderful technologies that I'm sure some of us here are familiar with. So that provides a very strong base for the new model. As far as today's technology trends, as we all know, we're all very familiar with HTML. HTML right now is obviously the front end to every single web site that's out there. So that's great. And CSS provides a great way to style those pages. We've also got 75% of developers familiar in using HTML. I'm sure that number is a little bit higher, but there's also plenty working with PHP and Ruby and other open source software. And these technologies obviously provide a great front end and UI for the layout and presentation layer to most web applications out there. We've also got about 75% of enterprises and also ISVs, partners, and other independent software providers providing APIs into their existing applications so that others can hook in and pull in data. And then as far as our design principles, first and foremost, design for the cloud. We believe if you design for the cloud, it's going to work on-prem as well. And then this enables a consistent development environment. You build for the cloud, and it will actually work on-prem fluidly. And then finally, we wanted to give choice to developers. So as I mentioned, most of us are familiar with HTML and CSS, but there's plenty of developers on the other end of the spectrum working in Java, PHP, Ruby, and anything else under the sun. So we wanted to maintain that choice. Also, what we wanted to do is ensure that developers have their choice of independent development environments. So although Visual Studio is a great tool, many others prefer Eclipse or even Notepad.
Visual Notepad. Yes.
Correct. Excellent. So what does this all culminate to? What's the result? The result, we believe, is the cloud app model. So what does that mean? That means that we are behind building a new class of applications that extend and create personalized experiences to information workers and office workers everywhere. This includes the ability to consume information and APIs, real-time data from financial applications and providers, LOB access, everything under the sun. This new class of apps provides new scenarios and new experiences to users where they no longer have to open up five different websites aside from their Word document or their Excel document to pull in that data. This data should be inherently available and fluidly integrated into their Office and SharePoint experience. Familiar tool sets. As we mentioned, many folks work in under the Microsoft platform using Azure and ASP.NET. However, there's plenty of others that work under JavaScript, PHP, Ruby, JSON, and many open source technologies such as jQuery and Knockout.js. We want to make sure that all of the developers out there are able to leverage their existing tool sets without having to retool and still leverage the benefits of the cloud app model. And then a flexible life cycle. As we all know, right now there are plenty of full trust code solutions, which we'll get to if you're not familiar with them, but the primary way to customize SharePoint right now is full trust code solutions, which means you're putting your custom code on your SharePoint environment. So that code affects the entire farm. And as we know, many times when you've upgraded SharePoint, you've had to ensure that there's some refactoring going on to your custom solution so that it updates with SharePoint. There was a lot of very tight coupling between your custom solution and SharePoint. There was also always the fear that your custom solution could bring down the entire farm. And that means that critical, mission-critical applications that run on your SharePoint farm aren't going to work until you get that farm back up and running and figure out what was wrong with that code. So what's great about the cloud app model is that this is a completely loosely coupled model where your code runs absolutely independently from your SharePoint farm. You no longer have to go to IT and beg them to deploy your code. You could essentially deploy midday and not affect the farm at all. So that's fantastic news. And then finally, one of the great aspects about the cloud app model is the distribution methodology. So whereas before, as I'd mentioned, it was very tightly integrated into your farm environment, right now these apps would be available in either the publicly available SharePoint store, so you could go to the SharePoint store, download your app, and voila, it works. Or you could even have a enterprise enclosed app catalog that would only be available to the users of your enterprise. So those are all fantastic benefits to the new cloud app model. And next, Keenan will talk about some of the aspects we've mentioned as far as where code used to run and where we think code should run.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about where we've come in our from a history standpoint when it comes regards to SharePoint and where we used to write code. SharePoint platform basically the whole time, but really became really popular in 2007 and going forward, was really about building what we call SharePoint solutions. And these were powerful, powerful type of solutions. You can just go and write anything that you wanted. But with great power comes great responsibility. And what I mean by that is, because you could write this code that ran within the same application domain as SharePoint, you could affect the behavior of SharePoint. Now, within your full trust solution that you wrote, that may be perfectly acceptable. However, in most SharePoint environments, you have multiple solutions. So if you have two solutions that are trying to affect, let's say, the behavior of search, you will probably run into problems because you might buy one third-party application expecting search to run one way, and then also you create a custom solution thinking it's going to run a slightly different way, and all of a sudden you're going to start seeing errors. There's going to be unexpected behavior within your environment. There's no isolation between solutions. It's all running within the same app domain. And it's basically kind of like if you have like a Windows application running, just adding a DLL right into your Windows application and expecting it not to, to potentially negatively affect your executable. Probably most of us would not allow that. And that's what SharePoint has been doing from 2007 on. And it's while it's been very, very powerful and very great, there's also you also hear people saying, oh, well, this broke, that broke. And 99.99% of the time, in fact, I wish we have a PFE that might be in here, and you probably attest to this. One of our premier field engineers, 99% of all SharePoint help desk calls come from customizations. SharePoint of the box runs completely smoothly, but when you start customizing it with these full trust solutions, that's when things can go start to hurt. So in 2007, we would have code that would run within SharePoint and would spit out HTML. Again, very, very powerful, but had some minor issues conflicting solutions. In 2010, we went ahead and added some new things to try to mitigate some of those concerns. First, we added the sandbox. And what the sandbox was is basically kind of this, you could say almost, I don't want to say it's virtualized, but it's kind of this safety, it's a sandbox to run your SharePoint solutions. You could actually run those and install it like midday and not affect the SharePoint environment. There were unfortunately some issues with the sandbox, such as no connectivity to any web services, and you couldn't really connect to any databases or any other data. It could only interact with the SharePoint environment. So there wasn't really a whole lot you could do with sandbox solutions. With 2010, we added something called the client-side object model. And the client-side object model allows you to actually use JavaScript or manage code to interact with SharePoint. And with the client-side object model, you could use you could write to lists, write to document libraries, and things of that nature. It wasn't really robust, at least not yet. Now, in SharePoint 2013, we've added a whole new set of a whole lot more new APIs that allow you to interact with the SharePoint environment. Those are accessible through a greatly expanded client-side object model, both for JavaScript and .NET, as well as REST endpoints. Now, if you notice in the PowerPoint here, I had these little circles of the arrows showing where the code would actually run. And in the 2013 environment, you'll notice that you don't see it running within the SharePoint box. And that's what's significant about this app model. You don't run server code any longer within the SharePoint box itself. You use SharePoint as a service, and you use SharePoint as a surface, or like a portal. And what this enables you to do, it enables you to create multiple types of solutions. They can be isolated in nature. And for those who've done SharePoint full trust solution deployments, I'm sure you can attest that being up at 3 in the morning to do a full trust upgrade to a solution is not a lot of fun. But that's what we need to do, because you need to basically shut down the farm for a brief second and then restart it with the new full trust code running within it, because it was running within that app domain. There was no way to do so. Now with apps, those are not running within the application domain anymore. So now you can go ahead and add solutions midday. Not even worry about it. You can add these new apps midday, no problem. So with that, I think it's time to actually start taking a look at what some of these solutions can actually actually look like. So let me go ahead and flip over to my laptop. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to first start off with one of our very first apps. And the very first app is actually a cool app. It's actually made by our Visual Studio team. And it's called Napa, Office 365 Development Tools. And what it is it's an actual, what we call a cloud-hosted app. In other words, the app is has server-side code that's running external of SharePoint. And it will allow you to write other apps. So it's an app to write apps, which is pretty cool. So I'm in my SharePoint environment. I clicked on Napa, and you can see it's actually going to a different URL. So it's actually running externally of my SharePoint environment. Now, I have a couple of apps up here, which I'm going to show you one of them in a little bit. But let's just kind of take a look at what that file new hello world type of experience is. So I'm going to click add new project. And I have a choice if I want to create an app for SharePoint, or I can actually add apps for Excel, Office, and Excel, Word, and Outlook. Now, for the purpose of this, we're going to focus on apps for SharePoint. We'll show this, the apps for Office stuff, tomorrow. So we'll go ahead and jump into creating the new app. Say SharePoint app one, name is fine. We'll say create. And now I have a web-based development environment that's available to me for writing these apps. Now, these types of apps are what we call SharePoint-hosted apps. And what we mean by SharePoint-hosted is that the HTML and the CSS and the JavaScript associated with it is hosted on a SharePoint site. And that is okay to have SharePoint artifacts for an app. The key is it's HTML, CSS, and JavaScript. None of it's server-side code. So the only thing SharePoint's going to do is just go ahead and render everything to the browser, and everything is going to run within the browser itself. Now, just like you would expect in Visual Studio, there's an F5 experience. So I can go ahead and simply click on the button. What it's going to do is it's going to take this Hello World sample that happens right out of the box. It's going to compile it all together. It's going to go ahead and install it into my SharePoint environment. I'm going to click Yes right there. And then what should happen is there is my SharePoint app. Very, very simple. Hello World. Hello the administrator, which is my account name. But this is actually my SharePoint app that is running within within the browser. But the code's being hosted in the SharePoint site itself. So now that I've shown you a very, very simple app. And only thing, if we take a look here, on the left-hand side, you can see there was my default.aspx page. We can take a look at the JavaScript page itself. And if we take a quick look at what I highlight right there, you can see that's the code that actually took my name that I went ahead and pulled and went ahead and rendered it. And to simply get my name, I use something what we call we query the context. Now, what the context is the context is SharePoint context, and you define two things when you use the client-side object model, both in JavaScript and .NET. You define the how is it going to get the data, and then you define the what. So in this case, if we take a look at the JavaScript up here at the top, these two lines define the how. They define how it's going to go ahead and grab the user information. And then what we do is, in order to simplify the amount of data that gets returned back into the browser, we use this method here called load within the context that says specifically get the user back. I don't want to get any other extra properties or anything else like that. And this is kind of useful for lists that maybe have lots of fields in those lists, and you only really want three to get returned. You specify just what those three list items are, and you go ahead and return those. But in this case, we'll just return the user. That's all we wanted to load. So in this case, with this client context, it's really meant to help make it more efficient in how you define the how and the what. You can think of it a lot like SQL, right? In a select statement, I defined my what by defining the columns that are going to get returned, and I defined the how by doing my table joins. And you can think of it as kind of similar in nature as well. So if we go back into Napa, I have another app that I've already created, and it's a weather app for SharePoint. And this actually does some pretty cool stuff. I go ahead and use a third-party web service, and I go ahead and return that data back. So the real meat of this code is right down here. And one of the things that's really powerful about SharePoint-hosted apps is I'm not stuck to just using SharePoint things. Now, if you probably most of you know with HTML and JavaScript, when you go ahead and pull information down from one specific site, you have to do something called like cross-site scripting, which most browsers frown upon. And there are things like JSONP to kind of get around that. But what we've done within the SharePoint platform itself, we actually created a proxy for you. So if you're writing a SharePoint-hosted app, and you do have some type of third-party service that you want to leverage, by all means, go ahead. What we do is you define the URLs that are safe for the proxy to use, and you define that query. So in this case, what I do is I just define what the URL is for the information that I want to return. I go ahead and set anything special within the headers itself to make sure it comes back as JSON, and then I just simply call. I simply define this invoke, which says web proxy. Go ahead and invoke it. And then I have my execute handler, which will then just go ahead and execute the code and go ahead and render the data. Now, I'm using things like jQuery and Knockout.js. All this is possible to be used within the SharePoint environment. These were things prior to SharePoint 2010 where we kind of said, prior to SharePoint 2013, that, yeah, you probably shouldn't do this. You can now go ahead and use all these great frameworks that are out there for rendering HTML. So to get an idea how this works, just go ahead and run it. And what it's going to go ahead and do is it's going to go ahead and create a, again, it's I already installed it, so it's going to install the previous version for me. And then once it's done installing, it's going to go ahead and package up the app for me automatically. Then once it packages up the app, it'll go ahead and install it. And now there it is installing, and then within a few seconds, we should see a window that'll pop up. Yep. And we'll see a text box on the left-hand side. That'll go ahead and allow me to specify my location. And there we go. So now we're in San Francisco. So what we're going to do is we're going to just start typing in San Francisco. And you can see I wired in autocomplete automatically, and we'll click add, and we've just added that data through that underground service. Simple HTML JavaScript app. Now granted, I use Weather because it was this particular service was a simple API for me just to leverage because I just wanted to show the key points here, but it's very, very, you can do some really powerful things like hook into maybe even internal line of business applications and just make it a SharePoint hosted app because you can just go ahead and communicate through the web services that are made available to you through those line of business apps right through the proxy. So it's definitely an option for doing, especially if you have a lot of developers that are very HTML, like web developers. You don't need to be a SharePoint developer to do this. You just need to be a web developer to go ahead and to leverage this. But one of the things I'm actually doing is I'm actually using a SharePoint list behind the scenes. And if you take a look on the left-hand side, there isn't really a good way to actually create a SharePoint list. So what I've done is I actually define code within my JavaScript to actually create the list for me automatically in my app. So if the list doesn't exist, it'll go ahead and create a new list for me automatically and define what those whatever those fields may be. And this is one way to say that for you SharePoint developers that that are using the app or just kind of prototype with, there isn't that whole declarative capabilities of adding elements and adding like content types and lists declaratively. In this case, you can get away with doing the same things by just using code. But some of the cool things that I can do here is, if you look on the left-hand side as I kind of scroll down, I can remove the app. So I can go ahead and say, you know what, I want to go ahead and take the app off, and that's perfectly fine thing to do. I can also go into the properties of the app itself. So here I can specify the name, things you would particularly would think about. I also have this thing called a client web part. And the client web part is a, you can think of it like a web part, but for apps. So if you ever had dealt with a web part in SharePoint, you have that like that little section on my screen that's devoted to that web part. Well, now that little section of screen is devoted to an app itself. So again, you can do some of the same things that you could do with web parts, but you can use apps. Permissions. So permissions are a really, really important thing. With like any app, like if you'd ever worked with like a Facebook app or a Twitter app or a LinkedIn app, you've always had to ask those services if it had permissions to, you know, access your email or access your friends list or your coworkers or whatever those permissions are. We do the same things with apps. So that way you don't just install an app and just expect it just to work. What you do is allow it to do whatever you want it to do with your environment. Instead, you define what those permissions are, and then those permissions will then be prompted to the user installing the app. And they'll go ahead and say yay or nay to installing that app or not based on what those permissions are. So they have full context on what it is that they're doing. But one key thing is, remember I mentioned about those that proxy endpoints? And this is another piece right here with these remote endpoints. I can define these remote endpoints right here. And these are the endpoints that would be allowed to communicate with what my proxy will allow to communicate with. So in this case, I was using that weather service, so I defined the autocomplete and the API endpoints, so that way my proxy had those proper permissions. So another cool thing, which I think is probably pretty neat, is we can open this in Visual Studio, but I'm going to save that for just a second. Another thing that you can do is, once you create a project, I can go ahead and share this. I create a link, basically a short link, and I can go ahead and share this with other people. So I can put do something really cool in Napa and put it in my blog and share the link, and anybody that can just click on the link can go ahead and say, oh, awesome, just click on that link and make a copy of that app for themselves. So if you want to share your app with others, it's very, very easy and very, I guess you could say, social way of being able to share share out a project. And lastly is publishing. You can take your apps and then publish them to the store, so it'll package it all up for you for publishing. Now, the download into Visual Studio, this is kind of the cool thing. So you can define what languages that you're most comfortable with. I'll say C# because I like C#. And I click continue, and what it's going to do is it's going to create a downloadable that's going to start to run. And just click run. It'll open up Visual Studio for me automatically, and then all these little, all this code will automatically be already set up for me in Visual Studio. So that's the Napa experience. It has an awesome grow up story, so I can go ahead and grow up my project. So once I've kind of prototyped something out, maybe for my CEO, for my CIO, I can then go ahead and say, hey, you know what? Let's go ahead and make this into a real application. And then once you go ahead and do that, you can then bring it into Visual Studio. You got the prototype there with all the code and the bits that were already there. And I can just go ahead and run this right from Visual Studio as well, because it should be all ready to go. And just go ahead and deploy it. It'll go through the exact same steps as before. It'll uninstall. It's now installing, if you see in the lower left-hand status bar there. And it'll pop up the web browser, hopefully any second. And there's my app. So complete grow-up story. I can do pretty much everything that that you can do with Visual Studio, except probably for step-through debugging, things like that. But for getting started with apps with SharePoint, the great part is it's free. You just can go ahead and download and install this app, and you don't have to worry about purchasing purchasing the app or anything like that. It comes with an Office 365 developer tenancy, which if you're already have within your if you have a E3 enterprise account for Office 365, you can go ahead and get that for free. Just set up a developer site collection, you're good to go. If you're a single developer and you have an MSDN subscription, I believe it comes with the MSDN subscription, but if you're just an independent developer and don't have MSDN, I think maybe $99 a year, but don't quote me on that. So that's a very simple app that I just wanted to show. So now let's go ahead and take a look at something a little bit more complex. And we will, I want to show you a help desk app, something that's a little more meatier, something that we would actually be, that you would actually probably go ahead and do. So let me first open up the project solution in Visual Studio. And these next two apps are actually going to be themed in both of our session today and our session tomorrow, because they contain both parts for apps for SharePoint and apps for Office as well. So it's prompted me to log, it will prompt me to sign in there once it pops up. But while that is occurring, we'll just jump into the app itself. So if I go into my site contents, acquiring apps are like lists and documents are also considered types of apps, but here's my help desk app of what I will be showing. And here is a HTML MVC based app that I can use to go ahead and create tickets. So it's a pretty similar if you ever dealt with a help desk ticket app before in the past. You're probably pretty familiar with how this works. Some cool things that we can do with this app is I have statistics. And within statistics, you'll see the green buttons on the top says Analyze in Excel. I can actually pull data into Excel itself. So I can just simply go ahead and click on that, and then there'll be an app for Office that'll pop up in Excel. So I'm going to just go ahead and click on that, just to show you what the actual app does. So here you can see it's automatically loading into Excel for me automatically. I can specify a report range. So we'll say May 1st through July 1st, and we'll say get tickets. And it'll automatically render that data automatically for me. So before in the past, a lot of times we would just say, here, end user, here's ODBC. I'll tell you, that's probably one of the more dangerous things. And not because we don't think it's a powerful tool, it's because I know I've been at organizations in the past, because I've only been at Microsoft for 8 years. I actually used to sit where you sit, so I've been developing real solutions in the real world. And I've seen database admins not fully realize that certain apps required the user to have rights into the SQL database. If you ever deal with finance and Sarbanes-Oxley, it's one of the most common scenarios that when a person goes and makes a change in a database, it has to be under that person's credentials. Well, what sometimes happens is that a database administrator, not realizing it, would say, yeah, here is the SQL string for opening this up in Excel and ODBC. The user would start opening it up, saying, oh, great, there's all my data, and they would start making changes into that table, and not realizing they were making changes back into that database when they were saving it. So that could be some of the dangers of the ODBC. But in this case, I can use an app to actually control and put some business logic in how I interact with that data. As easily as I was able to read that data, I'll also be able to write that data back as well. So let's jump out of Excel, and let's take a look at some other capabilities. So we also added the ability to, and as long as it's behaving properly, to do IntelliSense as well. So here I can see that we have some basic IntelliSense capabilities as well. There's some more components to this app as well, but I'm going to save those for the 0 to 60 Apps for Office session next week. If you guys work with enterprise account teams, they'll be able to actually show you this demo in more further depth, because that'll be handed to them, so they can get into the crux of it. So let's jump back into Visual Studio. And that seems to have been funnily misbehaving. Okay, so at least it's still opened up. So some key things I want to go ahead and show you, because I'm not going to compile this. But the key thing is this one web interface. I'm sure some of you have built like an app for Windows, and then you built something maybe somewhere for SharePoint, or maybe for an Office client, or maybe even for another device like Windows Phone or iOS. But you had to write this app more than once for each and every single platform. This app, this help desk app, was written once with three different views using the model view controller pattern. So I created views for Excel. I've created views that are included for Outlook, and I've created views for SharePoint itself. And if we take a look right here, that's what these three items on the top right in my solution folder are. Underneath it is the actual web project itself. It is just one web project. I'm using the same business logic, the same code. I didn't have to go rewrite my solution three different times. I wrote it one time and had those three different views. This way, it's a lot easier to maintain. If I want to make a change to the app, I can just go ahead and change the overall app itself and affect all three views, and I can use whatever patterns I want. So in this case, I used MVC, but I could do MVVM. I could use whatever really type of proven practices that are best for my organization. This is a web project written in .NET. I could have done this in PHP. I could have done this with Ruby on Rails. If you have web developers that aren't necessarily really strong in .NET, that's okay. They can use the platforms they are most comfortable with. That's what this is all about this open platform, about being really interconnected. So some key integration points with SharePoint that I wanted to point out is within this managed code, what we have is, I talked about this client context that figures out the how and the what to get data SharePoint with. When you create a brand new project, we create this class file automatically called Token Helper. You'll be very thankful that we did, because it manages all the authentication stuff for you automatically. You simply just pass it a few parameters, like what is the site URL, the context token that if you're using OAuth, or the information about this, the server-to-server certificates. That's it. It manages everything else for you. It does all the, I mean, it's got like, I think over like 1,000 lines of code. It's pretty big class file, but it manages everything for you. Key thing is, it comes back with the client context. And here in this case, I was able to pull back the people manager and get, and then specify the contact properties to come back from the people manager for the specific contact that I'm going to be sending a message to, and I go ahead and execute that. Now in JavaScript, remember there was the asynchronous call, and here in .NET, I can easily do this synchronously. I can then go ahead and create a social feed for our news feeds within SharePoint 2013, and then within the news feed itself, I can go ahead and post a message, and again, same basic concept. Once I go ahead and post that message, I can also send out create an email message right here. So I can do multiple things with this client context and then go and tell SharePoint to go execute it. So I can say, hey, put something on the newsfeed and send out an email. Now SharePoint, go do it. So that's what this slide is doing right here. So if we take a quick look of what that looks like. So I go to my newsfeed. Now, I had ran that just a little bit ago, so I'm not going to, where is it here? It's in one of these. So here is that ticket itself that I ran a little bit early under a different account. But you can see this is what actually came back. So this is my, put in the hashtag, that was the message itself that I actually put in with the ticket ID. So I can use like SharePoint's capabilities, and I just treat it like a service. Now, if I'm not using the managed clients and object model, I could have easily done this with REST endpoints as well. So that's those are just some of the cool capabilities that that we have there. Now, I showed you just a little bit of capabilities, so let's go ahead and create a brand new app from scratch. So I'm going to go to a new project, and we'll go ahead and select apps SharePoint, and we'll call this build demo final. And we'll make sure that the URL, so it's going to ask you the what the site URL is. And if you've already used your developer site collection, you can just, it'll be automatically populated for you. So I'll click next here. And I'm going to tell it to go ahead and use ACS because I want to use OAuth since I am going to be developing with Office 365. And it's going to create a project for me automatically. Now, some key things that I'm going to just point out here, you notice it just creates a simple web forms project. If I wanted to do an MVC project, I would do things in a slightly different way. I would simply just create my MVC web project first. I right-click on that project, and if you scroll down through the whole context menu, you'll see add app for Office, add app for SharePoint. Just click on that and go ahead and automatically add that for you. Some cool things that we include to automatically to kind of give you that SharePoint look and feel is that we automatically include this Chrome control. And what I just did here is I added some simple JavaScript. So I added the Microsoft Ajax framework and jQuery. And right here, once the document has loaded, I pull back the SharePoint host URL. I'll go ahead and add the layouts 15 folder, and I'll tell it to go ahead and get the script file for SPUI controls. Now, what that allowed me to do is that allowed me to go ahead and render a render the Chrome control, which will be a top control at the very top of the page. So now, if I go to this into this page itself, I can do the same thing, and we'll add the div tag itself. Now, with the actual div tag, this kind of defines the container for the control itself. So I can say this is my travel app. I can specify if there's going to be any type of like settings links. And once I go ahead and run this, you'll see what this looks like. So we go ahead and run this, kind of get a quick look. Let's log in here real quick. And what we're going to see here is we're going to see a simple page. Now, it's going to be a little off because there's the Visual Studio Project does the little hello world thing too, so it just does a response.write. So once that'll pop up above the Chrome control itself, but you'll get an idea what this looks like. So like any other app, it's going to ask you to trust it, and we're going to say yes. I believe I did not write anything that's going to harm my environment. And you can see where it put that little hello world, the Contoso developers at the top. But here is my basic Chrome control. So it has that look and feel of the SharePoint environment, but if you notice, I'm running in localhost. I'm not running this within the SharePoint environment. So I'm able to pull that and give that same look and feel. And what's cool is I can, if I change the theming within my SharePoint environment, this changes with it. If you notice, most Office 365 out-of-the-box environments are blue. My theming is green, and my app now takes on that same green theme as well. So now that I've done that, let's go ahead and do some other cool things. So I talked a little bit about the app, and I talked about the app part, but we also have another capability called a custom action. And it's basically very similar to the SharePoint custom action. What it allows me to do is create a menu item that can form some type of custom thing. So I'm going to call this a send email, and we click add. And it's going to be for the host web. We're going to go with the list template and custom list. And then we'll go ahead and click next. We'll leave this as a name so that way I can easily identify what the name of it is for this demo. And we'll go ahead and click finish. So now I went ahead and defined it to call the default.aspx page whenever I go into this, whenever you click on that custom action. But what I really want to do is I want to go ahead and create a new page, and I'm going to want to send it to this new page. So we'll go ahead and say new web form. And we'll go ahead and go back to that elements file. We'll change default to send email. So now that I've added this new email form, I've added the custom action, let's go see and make sure that this actually works in the way we want it to work. We'll just go ahead and add the Chrome to this very quickly. And scroll down, and we'll add the dev tag like we did before, just so we have that SharePoint look and feel. Okay, so let's go ahead and run this again. Assuming I did everything properly, it will go ahead. We'll go ahead and go into a list item, and we should see the list menu be there. So it's again installing the app. And what happen is once you install an app, after this first time, the subsequent installs will actually be a little bit quicker, because it will know that if it doesn't have any SharePoint-specific artifacts to change, it'll say, well, it just is what it is. So let's go ahead and look. I have this little thing here called upcoming travel. If I did this right, there is my invoke send CA action. I'll click on it, and I should jump to that page. Now, remember, I didn't remove the Chrome control out of the home page, so the new one, I didn't remove the Hello World in the default page, but in the new one I did not have it, so you know it's actually calling the right page here. So now let's actually do something a little bit more meatier with it. Let's go ahead and start writing in some code. So I'm going to go to my send email. That's actually going to send the email. What I'm going to want to do is, based on clicking on this action, I actually want to send an email of that person's trip itinerary to an individual. So within the project file, what I'll do is I'm going to set up some variables first. So these variables are going to go ahead and pull the information out of the SharePoint and out of the request that came in, such as the host URL, the identifier for the list itself, which is no more than just a GUID, and the list item ID, which is just a number. It's like basically like a primary key for the list item. Once I have that, I'm going to go ahead and create my SharePoint context. So if I scroll up here, there's my context. So again, I'm using Token Helper. I'm going ahead and return this data with Token Helper, return my client context. And once I have my client context back, I'm going to define the how. How is it going to go ahead and retrieve the list data? So here, in these three lines, the first one is I'm going to go ahead and, with the client context for that website, I'm going to say, for all the lists, get the one based on the GUID, which is from the list ID that I pull back the list itself. I'm then going to go ahead and define a query. And if you've ever done SharePoint before, you probably have heard something called camel query. We have a simple, nice little method that says create all items query. So it just builds a query that says return everything, which for this demo is perfectly fine. But you can define your own query as you so see fit. Then after that query itself, I'll go ahead and pull back that list item and say go ahead and define the list item. Now I'm going to need to tell SharePoint the what. Excuse me, tell my code what the what's going to be. So here, I say go ahead and load that list item. So even though I'm telling it how to get it with the list and list items, I don't want to pull that data back. Only thing I really want is that list item to actually come back. And once I go ahead and pull that back, I'm now going to go ahead and get my properties. So I'm going to go ahead and go through that list item. I'm going to get the trip ID, the record locator, the name, the email address. I'm going to build a body of the string itself. Build the body of the email itself. The next, I'm going to set the properties for the email message. So I'm going to define the email properties. We'll just go ahead and set the using statement. And it's going to go ahead and say who the to is. And the to is going to be based on the email address that's in the list itself. It's going to be from the admin. And we put a little subject in there, and we specify the body itself. And lastly, we go ahead and actually send the email itself. Now, because we're doing certain things with the user profile, and we're being allowed to send an email, we have to set the proper permissions to actually execute this for this app. So I'm going to go up here into Visual Studio. I'm going to go into my app manifest. And I'm going to specify that I want to have, for the user profile, I want to have read permissions. And for the tenancy, I want to have write permissions. And the reason why I need write permissions for the tenancy is because I'm actually writing out emails. So when we think of the tenancy in case of like Office 365, when you send an email from an app, that's like writing to the tenancy itself. So we want to make sure that someone basically, the idea is that you don't want someone creating a spam engine within an app. So once I go ahead and specify those items, I think I have everything in order. And what we should see is we'll see it pull the information out of a list and send me an email. I'm assuming I did everything correctly and the demo gods are kind, this should all work. So again, because I changed permissions, I made a change to the SharePoint to that SharePoint app itself. It's going to uninstall the app, reinstall the app, and once it's deployed, launch the SharePoint interface, and of course, you'll see that the new permissions are set up here. So, key ones here are the user profile saying, hey, you can read everything out of the list profile, and you can see you can allow to edit and delete documents and list items in all the site collections. So, it has full rewrite capabilities into the tenancy. So, I'll click trust it, And we'll come back to that home page again. But we'll just go back here. And we'll go back to my list of upcoming travel. We'll click on that custom action that we created. And hopefully all goes well. I will see something, the travel app screen come up again. So, what did it just do? Well, if we go into Outlook, and I'll just log in real quick. And what we'll see is once the Outlook web app opens up, we'll see here is that fun email we just created roughly 1 minute ago. And here's the actual email that came up. Now, why did I just go through all this just to create myself an email? Well, I have a new app that I'm going to show a little more depth tomorrow around the travel app. It's an internal app that American Express and our MSIT actually work together that allows us to take a trip information, and as opposed to just sending you a PDF file, it'll go ahead and I'll go ahead and show you what that actually looks like, and just go ahead and try firing that up real quick. So go ahead and try to, it'll give you a list of your entire itinerary, which is popping up for you automatically, and it's pulling all this information right out of the email, that locator ID and that trip ID out of the email to actually render this data. But also did something pretty cool too, which I'll show again, I'll go into more depth tomorrow with. But as you can see, it actually went ahead and created all the appointments necessary for my entire trip in my calendar automatically, including some cool things like gave me an hour and a half buffer for when I want before my flight starts so I can check in and go through security. So it does this for you all automatically. And this is just one scenario of how powerful apps can be. Personally, this is my actual itinerary for my trip coming here and for what I had earlier this week. This actually is a real working thing, and we'll be deploying it within our own corporate environment. Very, very super excited about the collaboration we've done with American Express on this. And it's for me, it's great because now everything is going to be nicely synced up. You know, on my mobile device, I can see everything. I don't necessarily have to use other third-party services like Trip and all that. I have all the capabilities right here. If anything changes within my itinerary, it'll automatically change it for me as well. So if a flight's late, it'll go ahead and update my appointment calendar, or if any other changes occur. So I have one more demo that I want to do, and that will be with Windows Phone. So again, we'll create a new project, and I'll scroll all the way down to Windows Phone, and I'm going to create a new SharePoint list application. Now, from this point on, within 25 to 30 seconds, and someone can break out a watch if they want, I'll create a fully functioning application that'll interact with the SharePoint environment. Ready? I'm looking at my timer right about now, and go. So here I'll go ahead and type in the URL for my SharePoint list actually exist. So I'll go ahead and say find lists. And I'm going to use the upcoming travel list, the list I used for the app I just did. I'm going to specify all the items. So there's different views of SharePoint, the way you bring back your data, and I just specify the default all items view. I'll specify what operations, like new, display, edit, delete. And now it's going to ask me for what fields. I can go ahead and specify what fields I actually want to get returned back. So we'll go ahead and take the record locator, trip ID, name, and email, click Next, click Finish. It's on creating the project. There's my code. And there is my fully functioning application that's starting to fire up right now. So it'll ask me to sign in like a good application would. And there's my trip itinerary. So it has the full capabilities that I just showed, so I can go ahead and edit this item as well. So I can change this to Keenan's build trip and click save. And if I go back into my SharePoint environment, I go to that list. Here it is, Keenan's build trip. Very, very quick to build Windows Phone applications. You can do very, very powerful things with that, enabling the mobile devices right away. Think of workflows, task list items that you want someone to go ahead and approve or not approve of something. You can do very, very, very powerful solutions and get them up and going very, very, very quickly with the platform. So I'm very happy with what our Windows team actually did. So those are our demos. And now I'm going to talk a little bit about the resources that we have, and we have a lot of things I want to highlight. So first, to know more about apps for Office and SharePoint, go to dev.office.com. You're going to find all the basic how-tos. A lot of the concepts in these demos I just did are all there. You won't see all these demos on there yet, but they will be there very, very soon. Also, if you haven't heard about it yet, it's called reimaginespdev.com. If you're an existing SharePoint developer and want to understand migrating your solutions to that environment, go to that site, write that down, because that is where it's going to be, where you're going to find all the content on how to migrate solutions and how to start rethinking your existing 2010 solutions. So maybe you're not ready to migrate to Office 365 or SharePoint 2013 yet, but when you are, it'll be much less of a painful experience. Also, we have our blogs on blogs.msdn.com with our Office apps. You can also go to my blog as well. Sometimes I like to do like 400 level stuff once in a while. I throw it on there. You can also go to our forum. So this deck will be made available for download and all that, or you can take a quick picture of what we have here. Today we had our 0 to 60 on apps. Right after this session, we have understanding authentication permissions with apps for SharePoint and Office. I believe that's being done by Kirk Evans, if memory serves. Later on this evening, between 5 and 6, our Visual Studio team is going to be going into the tooling a little more in depth than what I showed today. Thursday, you'll find myself and Sonia. We'll be doing apps for Office. So we're going to focus on those types of scenarios. And then we'll have building enterprise web and mobile apps with the Yammer platform, as well as advanced patterns with Windows Azure websites and for apps for Office and SharePoint. Both of those will be occurring on Friday. Now, with that, please fill out your evaluations. I will take any questions that you have. And on behalf of myself and Sonia, we'd like to thank everybody for attending, and we wish you all a great build. Thank you.